You are listening to episode number 147 of the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel Podcast.
Back to being Westless.
Which is the bestest.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to another exciting, thrilling episode of the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel Podcast. This time, once again, at full strength. I am always your host, Iggy, a.k.a. Ben. Joining me, the man who thinks Thanos having a son is kind of stupid, Mr. Taser. Taser, welcome
back. I'll save it for the review, but all I'll say is this. I lulled at that most recent issue of Infinity. Lulled big time.
Luller blades.
And the man who wants to have his Pokemans but can't have his Pokemans.
Lame.
Johnny V. Johnny V, welcome back to the show.
Lame.
Thanks for having me back, guys. And just remember, there ain't nothing wrong with a little bump and grind.
And the man who is joining us and surprisingly not dead from a heart attack after what the Bostonians are calling it, Super Sunday.
Sucks.
Mr. Brian Powers. Brian, welcome back to the show.
Yeah, I'd actually kind of given up on the Sox game as far as that goes. I had to get some sleep. Then all of a sudden, boom, David Ortiz is off.
Sweet Christ on a sandwich.
And by the way, I think thrilling episode might be overselling it a little bit.
Sucks.
Exciting might be okay.
Pokemon and Sox suck.
Taser, are you starting this curmudgeon stuff already? We haven't even really formally started the show yet.
Guys, last weekend was the second biggest convention of the year with New York Comic Con, where everybody and their mother seemed to converge on the Javits Center on the Eastern Seaboard in the heart of that melting pot cesspool. Something derogatory about New York.
The evil empire must die.
I'll take that as a compliment. Thank you very much.
Of New York Comic Con, and we all know that all new Marvel Now is coming. We've been teased with a shit ton of one-word announcements left and right, but now we officially got some words and some things. And we're not going to cover everything because there's too much, but we're going to cover some of the bigger things that caught our eye. B-Rai, give us a rundown. New York Comic Con 2013.
All right, kiddies. Well, let me just start off by saying this time around at New York Comic Con, I think Ghost Rider's gotten more shine than he's ever gotten before in his lifetime. Not to say that's necessarily a good thing, as JV will no doubt attest to. Isn't that right, JV?
I don't even know if I'll be able to talk about it. Like, unintelligible words might just start coming out of my mouth.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Not even complete sentences.
I'll try and cover for you as best I can. All right, buddy?
I appreciate the assist.
Of course. Okay, kicking things off for Ghost Rider, he'll be joining the Thunderbolts come 2014. That's right. Mr. Hellfire on Wheels himself will be joining General Thunderbolt Ross and his team of, shall we say, less than superheroes in Battling Evil. And that will be Johnny Blaze, however. Over in Ghost Rider's forthcoming new ongoing series, it will be an all-new host to the Ghost Rider power. And they released some cover art for it, and it's not so great. I'm not really sure. Anyway, the team working on that is Felipe Smith from Freelancers and NBQ, and Trad Moore will be doing art. He did Luther Strode, the interiors for that, so that should be good at least... him. A half-decent put-together book, you know? Not terrible. Also coming up is Loki, Agent of Asgard. Yes, indeed. combining Norse mythology with sort of an espionage tale. We're going to have Al Ewing writing and Lee Garbett doing the illustrations. However, what this means for Young Avengers, I'm not entirely certain. Because if they remove Loki, then who will make all the pithy one-liners and sarcastic comments? Who will do it, guys, huh?
Game of Thrones references.
Exactly. Who's going to do it? Fucking Kate Bishop? She's obnoxious enough as it is. She... Sorry, I got a little carried away there. Please don't kick me off the show. Okay, moving on. Also coming up in 2014, they are relaunching the book New Warriors, and Lil Nova's going to be on the team. Lil Nova. That's right. And guess who else is going to be on the team, boys and girls?
Kane! Who's on the team?
Kane, Scarlet Spider. That's right, Scarlet Spider. All of power, no of the responsibility among children. That's right, that's right.
Oh, gosh.
Written by Chris Yost and illustrated by Marcus Toe. And that's coming out in February of 2014.
Hey, Justice is in this book. Holy shit.
Yeah, right? Where the fuck did he come from?
He's been...
Same place people came from.
Yeah. It was a rhetorical question, but thank you for answering anyway.
Justice.
Yeah, well, you're the only one.
No, Taser too. Taser likes Justice. He likes
Taser doesn't even know what Justice means. Do you?
Taser likes a cool character. Fuck.
Do you know what Justice means? I'd rather employ vengeance. I employ vengeance rather than justice.
There you go. But then again, I think there's some sort of romantic quote about that being one of the same thing. I don't even know. I'm half drunk right now. Okay, so also coming to shoot. Ghost Rider isn't the only Thunderbolt who will be getting his own series. No. Elektra will be getting her own ongoing series.
Frank Miller? It's Frank Miller, right.
It's not Frank Miller. It's Zeb Wells and Mike Del Mundo who are...
Not Frank Miller, but not bad.
Well, I don't think anybody's really Frank Miller anymore. Even Frank Miller's not Frank Miller anymore. Frank Miller... He's not! He's fucking off his rocker these days. He doesn't deserve half the attention he gets.
Of course not.
I mean, granted, his legacy of like Dark Knight and all that stuff, that's decent, and of course his Daredevil work is some of the best, but nowadays he's just a crazy erratic psychopath who's sexist towards women.
So he's an older version of Geoff Johns.
He's basically just an old... He's basically...
Take that, DC.
He's a rambling, rage-driven psychopath who loves women but objectifies them to a certain degree.
So that makes him a normal man. I don't see what the big deal is.
That's you. I respect women, sir. Good sir. Bullshit. Anyway, sure to give our esteemed leader a load of a stiffy. Punisher's getting a new series.
Yes. Give me my Frank Castle. The man.
Written by the Activities, Nathan Edmondson and Mitch Gerads. They're going to be... kind of the new series launching this February that will supposedly put
on
Mr.
the month
Castle,
that I was born, it was as if it was meant to be.
That's going
to
put Frank Castle in the City of Angels. That's right, Los Angeles. Punisher's moving away from the Empire State, heading westward. Let's see.
Just trying to get a Hollywood gig.
Bright lights, big city, blonde women.
And perhaps another highlight, not something new, but something old. There will be forthcoming reprints of Alan Moore's Miracle Man.
Which is fucking huge. We're getting,
Previously...
You mean Marvel's doing the reprints now? Because we've had reprints of Miracle Man for quite a while, just saying. Yes, we have.
When was the last reprints we got? Now, go.
2 years ago.
Who did?
As a matter of fact, from Marvel. When they picked up
Alan Moore's reprints, because I don't remember this.
No. They're republishing Neil Gaiman and Mark Buckingham's scarcely available work on Miracle Man.
Okay,
that's being republished.
But they're starting with Alan Moore's in single issue format.
They're republishing the series from start point to where it ended. So it's pretty big because, as Ben pointed out in our little pregame talk, there's not so. If you want to read Miracle Man, you better be able to shill out on your eBay account, my friend. Because
that's not true. Well. There's some of them you can get. You're going to pay a lot more than you should, but you can get a lot of them. Some of like the Neil Gaiman stuff, that's the stuff you're going to have to pay cash for if you really want them.
Mm.
So, but the bigger news is that the Neil Gaiman and Mark Buckingham are actually going to be able to finish the story.
Yeah, that's huge too.
And then they'll move him into the Marvel Universe proper. Just watch.
Well, that's what they thought.
Like Angela.
Angela wasn't even fucking Marvel. I don't know how the hell that shit happened.
Well, but Neil Gaiman won the rights from Todd McFarlane. There you go.
And he needed his money.
Well, actually, they split it because Neil Gaiman and Todd McFarlane shared rights on her and Cogliostro, and then decided to go their separate ways. McFarlane took Cogliostro, Gaiman got Angela, and he said, "Hey, Marvel, I got a character. Let's use her."
That's what the official court decision was. The point is, long dispute. That's why Neil Gaiman's Spawn books were not reprinted. I don't think we'll ever be reprinted
for
a while.
Yeah, good point.
You can only find them in the back issue bins.
Also, some random tidbits just coming up. Over in Dan Slott's Spider-Man, we've got Birth of the New Goblin, quote-unquote. Superior Spider-Man Annual Number 1, written by Christos Gage and Javier Rodriguez. We'll have Aunt May witnessing just how Peter's a little different as of late. She's probably going to pick up on that he might be just a smidge a little darker. How about that? Also, going on to Superior Spider-Man, there will be the new Goblin Nation storyline, which Wacker called a perfect up and on point. Green Goblin on his side, Doc Ock, Spider-Man on the other side. It's going to be kind of a war thing going on. Should be interesting. And also, Captain Marvel is getting a relaunch in Number 1, also still written by Kelly Sue DeConnick. So, and that's what we got in terms of just comic news. Yeah, those were really just some of the highlights as far as comic books go from NYCC.
The big thing, I think, for me, at least personally, will be Miracle Man, because I have never had the opportunity to read. Those reprints came out, I don't fucking remember, so it's all... As far I'm doing the now called thing, all new Marvel Now thing, which, okay, if it did happen, I don't care, because I don't remember it, so, yeah, moving on. I'm excited for that more than anything else. But I think is going to happen, and forgive me when I go video gaming, is that people will read this, just like how a lot of people played Earthbound when they re-released it a couple months ago. They're going to go, what the fuck is this? This is what everybody's been talking about?
Really? Yeah.
I think this is going to happen.
Well, that's what happens with more intelligence.
It's before he wrote Swamp Thing. It's before he wrote Watchmen. It's before he wrote those masterpieces. And, you know, so that's what I think is going to happen.
Well, Alan Moore has always been that guy who... I like to think of him as almost like a prototypical Grant Morrison in some sort of sense, where his work is really like it's either you kind of just get it or you kind of
get Alan Moore's work. He's
pretty much choice.
I think you just get it. I think you just get it. He's not head scratchy like Morrison is.
He's debatable.
Simplistic.
Yeah, pretty much. But he just does it so well and just makes you whatever. We should do an whole episode. He didn't write for Marvel. We don't have to talk about Alan Moore all that much because he didn't write for Marvel. I don't think he did. Or if he did, I don't remember.
I don't think he did.
I wasn't even born yet.
You don't even remember Smurfs, Johnny V. Shut up.
Hey, I was Smurf. I was there for Smurfs, the tail end.
All right. So let's go real quickly.
Let herself go.
JV, let's go you first. Obviously, Ghost Rider, but what has you excited or disappointed about the New York Comic Con Roundup?
Well, it's funny because, like, what I'm excited about and what I'm not excited about are both about the same character, and it's fucking Ghost Rider. And here's what I don't get, is that you make this whole big excitement about Thunderbolts, right? Saying, you know, Johnny Blaze is back. He's joining the Thunderbolts. And why would you supplement that with an ongoing series introducing a brand new character taking up the Ghost Rider mantle? And it kind of doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me because you're kind of like dividing the whole Ghost Rider mythology against itself because you're saying...
Despite that Danny Ketch and Johnny Blaze were Ghost Riders at the same time?
Well,
they were brothers. They intermingled.
Were they were brothers?
That was a big soap opera.
How the fuck are they brothers?
Dude, it was the 90s. Shit was crazy.
No,
okay.
What?
Yeah, half brothers, I think, somehow.
Oh, okay. Well, that makes some kind of sense.
Yeah,
anyway, why divide the Ghost Rider universe against itself? To me, this is you're setting up...
Ghost Rider universe, that's funny.
You are setting The
he has a universe, Iggy. Don't demean him.
God. Don't demean my character. Don't make me start talking shit about.
Okay, this. You know what? They already tried a new Ghost Rider. Guess what? Didn't work. I don't think she lasted a year. Do you know what happened to her, Johnny V?
To be fair, there that was a mini series, and which event was it? I can't remember all the fucking events anymore.
It wasn't Dark Reign. It was the Fear Itself. That was
Fear
it.
Itself. Yeah, she had a mini series in that, and I think the mini series was just Ghost Rider, but I don't think it was seen as like an actual ongoing. So it was kind of like a developed mini series for Fear Itself, where she was involved. I've never read it. I don't care. And another thing I'll go ahead and say is, when you're doing something, like, isn't this why they created the Ultimate Universe? So that they could introduce new character ideas, and if they wanted to go more off the beaten path, they could say, hey, let's just do this in the Ultimate Universe. And now they're just...
shop over there, so...
to me, this is just setting it up for failure. Introducing something like this, with this kind of design, and just... everything about it I hate. I hate the design. I hate the backstory from what they've announced so far with the whole him living in the ghetto and he's a car mechanic.
Down in the ghetto.
And he's got like a brother that's like got a disability or something. It's... and like the first villain they've announced isn't even supernatural, really. So you're going to get what's most likely going to be a whole bunch of exposition about this new character, and it's not going to have any kind of like big supernatural, you know, panels that people love to see with Ghost Rider, and it's just such a disappointment. But on the flip side, I get my Blaze quota filled with Thunderbolts. So
motherfucking Johnny Blaze!
Johnny motherfucking Blaze, man, and like that's going to be an interesting dynamic, because y'all said Electro is in Thunderbolts too, right? So
good.
I haven't read Thunderbolts in forever, so I don't know anything about the series, but
yeah.
I
read the first few issues, but I couldn't get behind the artist. I cannot stand Dylan as an artist. He fails because his art's boring.
So the thing I'm most excited about is Ghost Rider, and on the flip side, the thing I'm the least excited or pissed off about.
At least you have a choice. You know, you'll be able to have you. You'll be able to.
I will say that. I will say that they're finally actually doing something with the character. So that's something.
And from what I've heard, I don't read Thunderbolts, but the guy who writes it, Charles Soule, he's been, you know, he's on fire right now, and
he's fucking doing everything.
Yeah,
he's on everything. I don't know how he does that. Like,
he quit his day job, I guess. I don't know.
He's a lawyer.
From what I heard, the team dynamics is actually very fun, and that he's very excited for writing Ghost Rider. So yeah. T-Man, anything exciting or disappointing coming out of New York Comic Con for you?
Most of the news coming out has been lackluster. I'm not really... yeah, I gotta read that! But I will say New Warriors has kind of made my ears go... hur? Unfortunately, it's got the new Nova, who... And I really don't want to admit this, but his book has been interesting only because they've been playing him up as the kid, you know, and all the kid fuck-ups and foibles and everything else like that. And the most recent issue actually had Speedball and Justice in it, so it was like, I kind of went, yeah, now how long is it until, you know, they actually put him on a team with them most likely? And then sure enough,
apparently, you know, the answer is February 2014.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it did take long for that to happen at all. Nope. I don't know. Excuse me. I tried to read Scarlet Spider, but that book just, it didn't work for me. It wasn't bad. It just didn't hold me, you know, so I can't say anything bad about Kane.
I can't believe it's it hasn't been canceled yet.
I stopped reading it, but I actually really liked it. For what I did read.
Was it still in Houston when you were reading it?
Yep. Yeah, I mean, it was when I was reading it.
Okay.
And there's a character, Arcelie, that's in the book that's supposed to be joining the team, too. I have no idea. Yeah, who is or what is she?
Maybe it's a new character?
She's in the book. What is what?
Huh?
What is what? I kind of zoned out there.
No, Arcelie. Yeah, female, I guess, or a male. And I think it's a female because there's like three females joining the team, one of whom I thought was Namorita or whatever the hell her new name is, but apparently that's not her because she's still stuck wherever the
fuck. Well, okay, Atlantean is listed in the title, so...
She teams up with Kane a lot in Scarlet Spider, and she kind of has like a origin through human trafficking. Like, she was trafficked in to Houston from Mexico.
I didn't realize there was a big Atlantean market in Houston.
Wow, so she's the immigrant. Okay.
Do they got a big Mexican fetish down there?
They've been kind of like... Well,
it's all fishy to me.
I don't even live near Houston.
You're Texas. That's all that needs to be said.
That's like saying you live near... that's like saying you live in Queens. Or Brooklyn.
No. What? I don't live anywhere near New York.
I was talking to Taser, and like, that's like saying you live in Brooklyn when it's completely different.
I live close to Brooklyn. Well, and it's all New York. All right, so
that's like saying you live in northern New York. That's like saying
depends
all
on what part of North you mean.
Westchester?
Albany.
I live in northern New York City.
Albany, New York.
You mean New York State?
New York State, yes.
Okay.
Always talk about birds. But
like I said, I'll claim any credit for being a New Yorker, state or city. Doesn't matter. So, But anyway, I digress.
He's a man of the people, Iggy.
Yes, I'm Bill de Blasio. I have a mixed breed child. Wow, I wouldn't got political.
I don't think
like
we can top this conversation. I don't think we can top this conversation.
You guys are going to talk to me about this right now.
Sorry. We just have Democratic mayoral candidate races here in the city, so he's been on the mind. Ignore it. I'm sorry. Please excuse me, all of you out there in the interwebs hearing my voice. I've done fucked up. Derpity derp. Anyway, New Warriors, what happened? Shut up, you. Taser be talking. I'll look at the first issue, you know, just because morbid curiosity, and I want to see how they play the new kid out, and I want to see how Kane works in the team dynamic, and I don't want to see Speedball, because I actually like Penance. Penance actually... work. That was progression
you
for the character. No, I liked the progression for the character. I didn't like how he got what forced him to go in that direction, but I liked what it did for the character. It matured him. Yeah, I know. Me liking mature things. But
I'm just surprised. I guess I shouldn't be surprised you like the guy who's in a giant BDSM suit, but I mean...
Well, you know, Speedball was fun, don't get me wrong. I didn't read Speedball, the solo comic, but I loved him in New Warriors. But I just, at this point, I liked what it did with the man, because he's a man now, you know? And, you know, some writer just decided to go, hey, he's Speedball, let's rewind everything. I just, you know, come on.
Yeah.
Characters don't have to rest to be acceptable.
I will say that when you have Peter Parker and Johnny Storm lined around, Speedball kind of seems irrelevant in manner of that sort of character.
Well, it's a good thing they won't be in the book. So, and Peter Parker's kind of gone. So, for now.
Well, depends on your definition of Peter Parker, but still,
that guy is not.
I'll look at the book. Mm-hmm. You know, like I said, out of more of a curiosity and I kind of need a Marvel book. Nothing else out of Nick. NYCC. I'm calling it Nick. Fuck all y'all. I'm calling it Nick. Nothing else sounds really, I got to get. So that's it for me.
I'll agree with that. And I'm generally the Marvel guy. So, yeah. Okay. B-Rive, last up. You, New York Comic Con news. Exciting that you're
looking? I'm excited for Johnny Blaze coming back. He's always been kind of a little... personal favorite of mine, but he's always been the kind of guy who can go
like Sons of Anarchy. Fucking poser,
that too, but also I just like him because he's probably one of the most batshit crazy characters I think they could have put out. He is this not Kentucky, but he kind of reminds me of Johnny B, this little hayseed stuntman who goes demonic and hunts down demons and sends them back to hell. While riding a fucking motorcycle with a leather fetish.
Bunny back in the box.
Bend over. You gonna squeal like a piggy.
That's my favorite Nicolas Cage role, goddammit.
Oh, my God. Awesome. Well, whatever. So, yeah, Ghost Rider, that's exciting. Like I said, I probably won't check out the new one all that much. I mean, I'll check out the first issue. I always do that. But.
Well, through popular hate, I have to make it the book of the week come February 2014. Let's see how this goes.
Oh, fantastic. That. And Punisher has me excited, too. That looks good. It's a change of pace, anyway.
All right. Real quick, before we move on to the book of the week, we have rumors of Ant-Man.
With the wheels finally turning in the Ant-Man wheelhouse about, you know, the movie finally getting off and getting into production, there has been names thrown around as to who will play the titular Ant-Man. Now, while we still don't have a clear-cut choice on which character it will be it Hank Pym, Scott Lang, or Eric O'Grady, there have been a few names tossed around for the lead role as far as an actor goes. And a couple of those names are, in fact, Joseph Gordon-Levitt, WB's...
This is my Inception horn.
Wow.
What is that?
It's my Inception horn.
I was going to go with they're going to steal Batman and make him Ant-Man, but sure, why not? If there was a bigger Batman, from Marvel or WB, that'd be it. And also in the contention, apparently, Paul Rudd. Yes, the Judd Apatow funny man who starred in various movies of his could be playing Ant-Man.
Too many to list. I will say this as the resident Hank Pym fan. I think Taser is too, but...
Hank Pym fan.
I guess somebody's got to support the wife beaters. Why do you think I supported Stone Cold Steve Austin through all those times?
Well, I don't know, because you're from Texas, and he's from Texas, and so it kind of balances out.
Whatever.
I figure everyone in Texas just knows each other. I feel like that's how it is in Texas. Everyone knows everyone.
Yeah, and everybody in Boston fucks their sister. What's your point?
That is so, Kentucky, sir.
Right, because everybody in Boston...
North Carolina. I'm sorry. It's North Carolina, JV. Sorry.
Anyways, so...
It's all right, Matt.
Well, I don't think Paul Rudd is automatically perfect for Ant-Man, for Hank Pym. Maybe Scott Lang... I don't care. If he's in the movie, I'm going to see it. I don't care what version he's playing. I like seeing him as an actor. I've liked pretty much all of his movies, any role he plays. So fuck it. If he's in the movie, it has me by. Because I just like him as an actor. I have never seen anything that he's done that's been, I consider, terrible by my standards. And they're pretty low. So I would see it just on his merit alone. Even if the movie turns out to be shit, in which case I'll probably be like, "Yeah, no, the movie sucked, but Paul Rudd was great, wasn't he?" Yeah.
So, oh, you mean like Thor, except in reverse?
What do you mean?
Hemsworth being in Thor and Thor not being awesome, but just kind of like everything else being better.
I guess. Agree with that. Yeah, a little bit. But hopefully, overall, the movie's just good overall. But that was the thing, is that I would be for Paul Rudd as Ant-Man, whatever Ant-Man they go with. So I'll stop there. JV, you're up next.
I like Paul Rudd. I don't think I've ever watched a movie with him in it where I didn't like him. My only problem with Paul Rudd is, to me, even in his dramatic roles, I can never take threats seriously when he's around. I can't imagine, like, watching a movie where, like, something threatening happens to him, and I take his reaction to it seriously.
God, like, damn it, Janet, I said no honey in my tea. Oh, he is so funny.
You know, Janet's probably going to be, what's her face?
Eva Mendez.
Yeah, no, can you imagine, like,
I would have no problem, like, you know what, as much as it shouldn't
not
work,
Eva Mendez,
I had no
but
problem
the
with
woman,
that.
The actress, the comedic actress, he's always paired up with
Leslie Mann or something like that.
Leslie Mann.
This is 40.
It's just basically they're gonna take that cast and move it over. That's what they're gonna do.
I still say it should be Jennifer Aniston.
I'm fine with it. I just don't. It doesn't. There's just something about Paul Rudd, and I like him in certain roles, but I just can't like some cosmic level. You know, shit goes down, and you know Paul Rudd's there to save
the rescue.
You know what I mean? It just—I don't know. There's something about that doesn't resonate with me at all, like on any level. So, but I mean, I would, nothing would please me more than to be proven wrong, because I do like Paul Rudd. Nothing against him at all. So, but it's just, like, making me take a threat seriously when he's reacting to it is gonna, it's going to take a lot. So, that's basically my thoughts about that.
Taser. Well, you know, I feel like the same could have been said for Chris Evans a little while back. I mean...
Yeah, but Paul Rudd's been way more comedic roles.
He did some action movies before.
Oh, what? Push? Are we talking about Push? Really? That's,
he has a whole different...
Paul Rudd was in Push?
No, Chris Evans.
Oh, okay.
Paul Rudd, to me, is kind of this generation's Bill Murray. He has that kind of, like...
Dude, I'm from this generation. I don't even support that statement.
And when I say that, I don't mean like he's as talented as Bill Murray, or he just has that kind of off-kilter way about him, like kind of an offbeat kind of comedic timing to him.
Why do I get the feeling you're thinking of Michael Keaton a little bit too?
Nah, not so much. But that's the only reason why I would be, you know, kind of... I would be apprehensive towards Paul Rudd getting that role. It's just that's the way I see him. He's just got that kind of offbeat humor to him that I just don't think would translate well to a comic book action movie. But that's my opinion. So,
Teza.
Yeah.
What did you think of the Paul Rudd being the Ant-Man? Yeah.
The fuck kind of accent is that?
It's German, yeah.
Why are you doing a German accent?
I don't fucking know. Just go on, Taser.
As long as you don't do that Jamaican accent again. Anyway.
I do Jamaican accents around here, goddammit.
You only eat Jamaican beef patty. Shut up. Paul Rudd. If Paul Rudd is Ant-Man, then damn it, I want Jennifer Aniston to be fucking Jennifer Van Dyne. Yes. She makes the perfect wasp.
Well, she's a certain kind of wasp, if that counts.
Yeah, bangable wasp. But anyway, seriously, I totally think Jennifer Aniston could play Janet Van Dyne.
No fucking way.
Think about it. She could. No, you're thinking about the current Janet Van Dyne. I'm talking Janet Van Dyne when she was introduced. The socialite, you know, the party having, wine drinking, smile forcing, you know, woman who fell in love with this really smart, intelligent, decent guy. And, you know, he comes up with this thing that allows him to shrink and ride on ants. And he comes up with a secondary suit that allows her to shrink, but actually not suit, implants for the back. And, you know, she shrinks and she can fly. And she kind of treats it all as like, more whimsy, you know, than what's in her life currently. And then as time progresses, yeah, she gets really serious, and then she gets into, you know, being the chairman and blah, 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 and then ends up getting killed by Kirby Dots. But, like, original flavor Janet Van Dyne? Yeah, Jennifer Aniston could totally play that. And I could see her playing off against him. That's awesome, because they've done a movie together. You know, and they had some chemistry. It was pretty good. Not that I want to see Jennifer Aniston in a superhero movie, or that I'm a big Jennifer Aniston fan.
Is she fit for the role?
Yeah, I think she could totally play that. Granted, it would be freaking twisted to put Jennifer Aniston in a superhero movie. as much as I'm laughing here on the mic, I'm laughing even harder in my head. But I think she could do that. Now, there are other actresses I'm sure that you could pick for that role, and you know, without a doubt, they'll probably pick some 23-year-old to play up against Rudd, who's, I don't know how old he is, but I know he ain't 23. But hey, you know, that's whatever.
He may have been 23 during Clueless.
You know what? Freaking Alicia Silverstone.
There you go. There we go. I like this idea now. Taser has sold me on Paul Rudd. If we get a Clueless reunion.
Oh, God.
I've been sold, sir.
And you know, like I said before we, you know, kicked the show, personally, I don't see Rudd as Hank Pym. I look at Paul Rudd and I see Scott Lang. You know, for whatever reason, I don't see scientists when I look at Scott Lang. I see, you know, everyman, you know, the guy who's just, you know, trying to get by and do the best that he can. And yeah, in this case, yeah, he has a daughter. I see that, and I would cast Rudd for that if I had my druthers. Fortunately, that's not the case here. If it's really Paul Rudd, I won't hate, you know, and I'll see the movie regardless because it's a comic book movie, and, you know, I kind of have to because I'm a slave to it. But, Paul Rudd doesn't make me cringe, but I'd rather he played, you know, the secondary Ant-Man to the primary, so, you know. Cool, go Paul Rudd. There you go. Go Paul Rudd.
I think it's a consensus. You can't hate Paul Rudd.
It's impossible.
I don't think I've not liked him in anything, so, you know.
All right, all right. B-Ride, did you give your thoughts?
No real thoughts on the subject.
Okay, well, moving on then. To get a little refresher, we are halfway through Infinity. We are in the final act, I believe. And so I figured Infinity number 4 is our book of the week, primarily because I wanted to see, as my microphone sank from scratching to the floor, that what do we think of this event as a whole, as well as his fourth issue. And I wanted to get Johnny V's thoughts first, because he kind of has been reading it, and since that way we can get a concise what he thinks about this issue by itself. So Johnny V, take it away.
This issue to me encapsulates everything that I find amazing about Hickman, and at the same time demonstrates to me his biggest weakness as well, in that he has, to me, some of the greatest plot detail ideas of any writer working right now. Like, the amount of detail he goes in creating a story, and you see it in everything. You see it in every work that he makes, how much detail he puts into these worlds and these ideas for stories, whether it's Manhattan Projects, Infinity, S.H.I.E.L.D., when he was writing that. And to me, he almost gets so wrapped up in the ideas for a story, the ideas for a plot, he loses his characters to me. In that there's no real development. I don't really get attached to any character Hickman writes. An example would be perfectly his Manhattan Projects. Like, there's no character in that book where I look at and say, wow, that's a real strong character. And I really care about where the development's gone for that character. And
you're,
I would say the same
watching
thing.
Things, observing things.
And I would say the same thing about Infinity from this issue. I read the first issue, and I've read this issue. I haven't got grade 2 or 3 yet. There were some good character moments. My favorite character moment was probably when Thor was kneeling to the Builder. He summons Mjolnir through his fucking stomach. And just collapses him and just starts beating the shit out of him. I thought that was great. But overall, it's the same thing. Like, Thanos, I really didn't feel anything for any, like, what Thanos was doing. And, you know, a lot of that, I will say, some things may have been set up in issues 2 and 3 that I just didn't read. So I have to be kind of fair there. That I don't know, like, a lot of the details of the story. I read the recap. But it almost kind of seems like, to me, this is kind of like a mid-series climax, because there's a lot of action in it. It was a very action-oriented issue, I thought, with Black Bolt and Thanos' fight, with Thor fighting the Builders. So, it's almost like there's just nothing really grabbed me in terms of the characters or the story, really. And I think a lot of that might have to do with, it seems like there's a huge divide in what's happening with Thanos and what's happening with the Builders. We kind of talked about that before the show, because I was asking you all if they have been connected, you know, before this issue, and they hadn't. It almost just kind of seems to me like it's more of like an anthology being told over a span of issues instead of more of just a complete cohesive narrative. And to me, it kind of loses me in a little bit, because you're asking me to switch gears between, you know, a plot development for one story immediately going into another. And that loses me a lot of times when you do that. Unless there's supposed to be a connection, but since there wasn't, it kind of lost my attention a little bit. So that would be my review for the writing aspect of it. As for the art, I mean, I like both of them. Weaver and Opeña, if I'm pronouncing that correctly. Is it Opeña?
Yeah, it's Opeña.
It's Opeña. Opeña. Part of it's Opeña, part of it's Dustin Weaver.
Right, that's what I meant. Weaver and Opeña. I was just making sure I was pronouncing his name correctly. So Opeña and Weaver, I thought it's solid work. I thought all the action sequences, you know, had good heavy hitting, good kind of breadth to them, good heavy hitting action, especially with Thor's action panels. So if I had to rate this, I would say it's a good solid 2.5 out of 5. It just, I don't know, Hickman's just got one of those things that so much of him to me is so impressive, and so much of it just kind of like doesn't leave me really getting into it all as much as I wish I could. But I think you have to give him props for being the most detail-oriented writer out there right now for creating a universe. And I think he's done a brilliant job of that from what I've read of Infinity so far. So 2.5 out of 5, great art. But I would say, like, mediocre character development and plot development as well. So that would be my score.
All right, well, I think I'm the only one who has relatively liked this through the entire thing.
I've liked it.
Okay, good. I'm not the only one. You know, having read the tie-ins and everything like that, the two essential tie-ins. This issue itself was really good. I think the best, like, it wasn't the best issue of this, but I think the best moment was that single page or panel of the bill of Thor receiving the hammer that just gone through the Builder's gut. Just that, I could look at it all day and just look at the detail and everything. Like, it does, like, you know, and it really shows how, if you look at the Dustin Weaver pages, which are the Black Bolt fights, and I don't know about you guys, but I feel like he rushed those pages. Like, Brian, I know you know crisp Dustin Weaver art when he takes it. Whereas this, it's good.
Yeah, but it's not up to his usual standard.
But if you look at Opeña's, somehow this magnificent, I think he's a Spanish bastard, because I want to say that.
Opeña?
Yeah, Opeña. I think he's Spanish.
I'll look it up. You can say.
Just like, every panel is extremely detailed. It doesn't feel rushed.
He's Filipino.
Oh, he's Filipino. Okay, good. The Mexicans of the Asian community, as one Hispanic said when George Lopez said a long time ago.
So that means he's half, right?
Filipino? Probably, yeah.
No, half Spanish.
Probably, yeah.
Okay.
Anyways, so I like the moments. I do agree with Johnny V in that this whole series, including issues 2 and 3, you're not wrong, JV, in that it's very, even with the tie-ins, which give you a little bit more character stuff, it's very hard to get into. There's not one person you can connect, like, that's not necessarily a bad thing. You know, sometimes you are just a fly on the wall investing a story, like, you know, sometimes you're not always investing in the character, but I can see it both ways, but for some reason, and I'm a person who is the story kind, the character story kind of guy. I am too. Yeah, and I don't, but I don't mind it here for some reason. Maybe I just accept that this is a big galactic war fought on two fronts with several different things, and you know, The Son of Thanos stuff has me interested because I don't know a lot about Thanos outside of the few appearances I've seen him in. I'm interested to see where it goes, although now that those opening panels of the Terrigen Mist being loaded on the Earth, like, yep, there's the tie into humanity. There it is. That's how it gets him. Because in humanity and all that shit. Although it's weird how the Son of Thanos looks all blonde and white and blue-haired. And the Terrigen Mist gets him, so.
Most Inhumans are. Didn't you know that?
No, I just find it funny that the Son of Thanos isn't an Inhuman, though. Is he?
Yeah, he's an Eternal.
Oh, well.
He's from Titan, so.
I don't know. I don't know much about the character in terms of his, like, what he's all about.
Okay, put it this way. Thanos is actually Earth human offspring,
mm-hmm.
You know? And like the Inhumans, they were humans modified.
Oh, okay.
So at some point, Thanos met another human modified, and they produced a normal-looking human.
But I did like the fight with Black Bolt. You don't get to see a Black Bolt, you know, fight anybody because, you know, his voice power nuclear bomb. But I guess he can control that. I don't know. Thanos whoops his ass, and he's looking for his son. It was kind of weird to see Thanos battle torn like that. But, I mean, not a lot happened. It sort of felt like, okay, plot beat, plot beat, plot beat, plot beat, plot beat, plot beat. Which is fine. I've been thoroughly enjoying it, though. I'm not complaining. It's been moving along. I'm really surprised that these two fronts haven't collided at some point. You know, the Avengers seem to be turning the tide in space, but the new Avengers and the heroes left on Earth seem to be struggling to fight Thanos' forces. Who knows? I give it a 3. This isn't the best issue of the run, but. You know, it was pretty good. T-Man, you were giggling about Son of Thanos.
Yeah, just that the idea of Thanos having a kid is still pretty damn ridiculous. I like you, I enjoyed the big galactic part rather than the Thanos part. Unlike you, whereas I think you liked that panel where Thor received the hammer having just come through that builder. Me, I don't know if any of y'all were paying attention, but what does it for me is the first panel on the last page of Thor and all the other
accusers
holding their hammers high. That's statuesque. You know, I mean, that is an image right there, you know, especially with Ronan, like, you know, calling out to all the others and they're just, you know, raising up in opposition to, you know, what's going on. The fuck? This image needs to be a poster, I swear. This part of the story, which is really the meat part, it's okay. It's another... You know, Marvel, spacey, actually, I'd say this one, you know, might qualify as cosmic thing that I usually tend to enjoy. I don't know. I've been enjoying it, but I haven't been enjoying it as much as I would like to. Something's just kind of missing, you know, for me in regards to this. I really can't put my hands in it, but I'm a little detached. You know, I'm not as engaged here. The Thanos part, the Thanos search for his son aside, I think the whole idea of him going, wait a minute, the Avengers are off planet? Hey, this shit just makes everything easier. Now's the time for me to go out and do what I was going to do. The fight with Black Bolt in and of itself, actually not bad. Well, pretty well done. You don't really see Thanos get that damaged. You know, I can count quite a few battles with Thanos post-resurrection, first resurrection, where he's taken on multiple humans, and I'm talking including Hulk. And, you know, he even... without the Infinity Gauntlet, he's just batting everything inside. This Thanos, he didn't get his ass whooped, but you know, he knows the person who just bitch slapped him. You know, blackballed on the other hand. Yeah, well, he did his best. I can't take anything away from him. But yeah, I knew how that fight was going to end up. You know, he had a good showing, but yeah, I knew who was going to be standing at the end of that. Everything in general, I'll say it was. I guess it's the midway point, so I give it. It felt a little more than Midland Affair to me. I would probably give this 3.7 Warriors out of 5. You know, it's not bad. It's pretty decent, but it's not like, oh shit, things done happen. Holy gee whiz. You know, it's not, you know, like that big bundle of like awesomeness that I would expect considering everything that's happened in this book. It's kind of, oh, okay, cool. Not bad. You know, so if you're enjoying it, you won't be disappointed. If you're not reading this, I don't know if I could actually recommend it. You know, there you go.
B-Rai, what did you think of Infinity number 4?
You muffled, dude.
What did you think of Infinity number 4?
They introduced a character named Thane. How are they not trying to copy Mass Effect? I don't get it. Is this okay? What the fuck is going on?
He ends up making a heroic sacrifice to save an ambassador from an assassin, which already is one. I will give you credit.
Oh my gosh! It just the evidence is compiled. Oh, hey, and speaking
it's good
of
though, it's there's
no. Mass I'm not saying it's bad.
Mass
it's
Effect. Good. Come on.
But speaking of diplomat. Whose idea was it to send Thor as the brilliant negotiator with these
Captain America.
Builders?
It was Captain America.
I question his leadership ability.
Thor wasn't sent there to debate and give up. He was there to do exactly what he did. That was the point.
Yeah. I guess.
The idea is to, well, basically Cap, you know, sucker punch at them.
Yeah.
You got it, which is fine. Nothing.
Yeah, I guess if you're looking for a sucker punch, then Thor's pretty good at that. He's a decent choice. Okay, so that qualm aside, I've been liking this series so far. I look at it as a big sort of, you know, space opera thing, and I find it entertaining on some level. The stuff with Black Bolt and Thanos was tastefully done. Almost like a tastefully done nude photograph set, you know? Gives you just enough where you're like, ah, I can appreciate that. But you can't really get harder, you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? That having been said, I don't know. I feel like Johnny V was right in saying that the characters kind of get lost in the shuffle in terms of John Hickman's grand storytelling. But see, he is a good storyteller in terms of plot details and stuff like that. But in terms of characters, he sort of, you know, dropped that on me. I'm kind of like, wow, it's a good point. John Hickman does sort of let characters get lost in the shuffle. But the benefit in this series is that most of these characters we already know and are practically written for us. So it's really, there's not that much of a struggle with trying to identify with or trying to get these characters to act like themselves when we're reading them. Same can't be said for Thanos' bastard child, or the new Thanos as it is, because I've been talking to Taser. This is new Thanos. This isn't the original Thanos. This is new Thanos. So, new Thanos is, I don't know. I mean, I like him, but he's not as good as old Thanos. Old Thanos would not have had a bunch of fucking bastard kids with women across the galaxy. And when he went to exterminate them all, he wouldn't have fucking missed one. That's not who Thanos is. I mean, with this whole thing with the sun, I don't know how it's going to turn out with the Inhumans now being in the middle of everything in terms of this giant galactic war going on. and how Thor, like you were saying, just sucker punched the builders. That's going to play out surely in some catastrophic way. But it was an exciting, it was a very action-packed read. Tastefully done for the most part. Granted, some of the story points are weaker, but that's more to the effect of, you know, it's not, this is a sudden onset of this stuff kind of being weaker. This stuff established kind of from the start wasn't the most well constructed, and so I won't fault this issue primarily for that. If we ever get around to doing like a look back on the series as a whole, I might fault it then, but for now I'll kind of just let it slide. So that having been said, I thought it was a decent issue. Like you were saying about Dustin Weaver, his art is still good, but compared to Jerome Alpena, it can't compare. And of course Hickman is still Hickman, so I'll give it a 3.5 out of 5. Generally a positive book, positive read. I liked it a lot. Like I said, a few weaker points, but that's nothing we couldn't have seen coming. So I'll just kind of leave it at that. And I'm keeping my eye out for Thane and his heroic sacrifice. You know what I'm saying? I'll be keeping an eye on that.
Next thing you know, he's going to have Kepler syndrome.
Oh, Jesus, yeah. Oh, God.
Thane is the best fucking female romance you do in it.
Oh, my God. If Thane gets recruited by Captain America for a suicide mission, I'm going to flip my shit.
We'll see. I don't even think they're going to interact right now, so we'll see. All right, individual reviews time, I guess. And I will be first up with the Captain America number 12. This issue really didn't focus on Captain America, except it showed that Captain America, the few panels that he was in, basically that he's lost in this. He's talking to Falcon, talks to his best friend, as you do when you go through traumatic times, and you know that. How he's with
or he's just relying on the trope of wise black man.
Well, nothing. Hey, Sam Wilson's a. If you're gonna talk your problems to anybody, Sam Wilson.
You mean right. Sam Wilson, the former
right?
sure.
Jet Black almost starts to fight with Sam. Look, I'm just gonna say it's only a matter of time for Steve and Jet Black start banging. It's only a matter of fucking time. The writing's on the wall, and that's fine with me. She's walking half naked around his house. Steve may be from the 40s, but he's not a prude. At least I don't think he is.
Now he just can't get any, or he couldn't get any back when he was Steve.
So in the first couple of pages, we get this Chinese man in 1968 find this dragon and somehow was given abilities. He has dragon eyes. And everything like
that sounds dragon. Like Iron Fist.
It's not, because it's not the
cool to a degree. Match.
A little bit, but he didn't punch into the heart of the dragon. But most of this issue actually is sort of like not a good introspective into who Nuke is, but sort of what he's about, and that he's in Bosnia, which, if you know, in the 1990s, how much of a fucked up situation that is, and it kind of
war torn.
Yeah, war torn country, and is it still war? I imagine it is.
I think it still is, yeah, but I think they're trying to get a handle on it, and it's not going so well.
So you have this Chinese person. We don't know the person's name, although because of the snake and the dragon, I keep thinking they're part of the Serpent Society, which is a huge thing for Captain America to fight against. So I don't know. There's no official connection. That's just me. So meanwhile, you just get Nuke. Sort of get quote-unquote revenge for the humiliation of America losing, in that basically he's trying to sort of re-win the wars that America shouldn't have lost, our boys, and you sort of get why he's demented and why he's not necessarily scary, but just sort of like just batshit fucking insane, especially when he takes those red pills and he raises America doesn't run. He's basically the ultimate modern American imperialist.
So he took the red pill and he decided to figure out how deep the rabbit hole went?
I guess. I don't know. This is way before... He was born way before the Matrix, so...
I know, I'm kidding, but...
Cool. But, like, in the last couple of minutes, he destroys, like, an entire tank battalion, and he raises an American flag over war-torn Bosnia, and it just goes to one single page of America doesn't run and America doesn't lose, sort of twisting that iconic American value that we all hold as the pride in Americans, but just twisting and turning it. And so, you know, it's interesting, and it's all by this plot by this Chinese man, which I'm kind of glad it's a Chinese man that it's going to be the villain of this plot. So, you know, sort of manipulating scenes behind the scenes. So I just did, and Carlos Pacheco's, you know, it doesn't feel it good as always. You know, it feels more like he's drawing like John Romita Jr., but less stylistic like John Romita. But it just, like, if you were to transition between the two artists, it would take you a while. Like, oh yeah, it's not him doing the book anymore. Okay. But yeah, if you were interested in Nuke or what was Nuke about and you don't want to read Daredevil Born Again, because I don't know how many stories Nuke has actually showed up in, because I don't imagine he's a character that has gotten a lot of play.
He was used to great effect in Ultimate Captain America.
Yeah, but that's not... I'm talking about, like, mainstream 616 stuff. Like,
well, this is Marvel Now 616, so it's not technically the same thing.
Well, it is. I mean, I've read Born Again, and I read this. It's the same character. It's the same sort of ideas of this twisted, perverted... Have you read Daredevil Born Again?
No, I haven't.
Then shut up. So
hey, I'm an American. I can talk about whatever the fuck I want to talk about.
It's the same character... So I'm just thinking that I can't think of any other sort of things he's appeared in, is what I'm saying. But this is a good sort of little snap.
Don't like America, you can get out.
Although that, if you haven't read Daredevil Born Again, what the fuck is the matter with you? At least read it.
Dude, I have so much shit on my to-read list. I don't have the time, okay?
I'm going to get a review for Christmas then.
Okay.
All right. Y'all have anything to discuss?
I would like to say something about a different book. Are we still doing individual reviews? Is that what we're doing?
Yeah, I give Captain America number 12 a 4 out of 5.
Okay. I would like to talk about X-Men number 6, Battle of the Atom number 7, if you would be so kind.
Shit went down.
Did it not go down, Iggy? Oh, it went down.
It went down.
Oh, in typical X-Men fashion, the future X-Men or the future team are not all that they appear to be. Yes, indeed. What is it? They finally agree to get the kids to go back to their own time. And the teams from the future, they figure out that Wolverine's getting suspicious. And they figure...
It was Rachel and Rachel who was like...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Rachel and Wolverine, well, sort of in conjunction, yeah. There's a compound there, and it's just... And so Xavier and Zorna just kind of look at each other and go, we gotta lock this shit down. So, shit goes down. I mean, the entire school goes down. Like, just boom, just down. Oh, God, and I don't know what to make of these X-Men... quote unquote. I don't know what to do from this point, Iggy. I mean, what's going to happen, man?
Well,
tell me.
Well, what I thought that was weird is that they actually included that Wolverine doesn't have his healing factor right now, which I thought, huh. You're actually connecting with his book. That's interesting.
Really? That happened in his book? I've read Wolverine's book.
Yeah, he got his healing factor taken away. He doesn't have it right now.
Really? By who?
Which is why I thought, like, wow, that's really odd to put that here. I mean, you know, people want continuity and it's there, but I'm like, huh, okay. So that's why he was more susceptible to Nike. What is it? Wolverine, not Wolverine. What do they call the blue Mystique? The Mystique future person.
Oh,
child with Wolverine.
Yeah. More susceptible to the claws and everything.
Then. Then if that's the case, then you mean to tell me that Wolverine has his sense of smell, but no healing factor?
Mm-hmm. I told you this when I reviewed the Wolverine book. Yeah, so it's consistent. Also, Vampire Jubilee shows up. So yeah, they acknowledge that.
So she's still a vampire. Okay, did any of you read that book where she became a vampire? Because I've been meaning to ask this question. Nope.
Arnold
okay.
Did, so you might have to ask him.
Damn it, because I saw that, you know, the fangs came out and she got all, and I went, wait a minute, since when do vampires run around during the daylight in the Marvel Universe?
It's a special thing, I don't fucking know. Anyways, that's all.
And fucking Jubilee's little brat, or whatever.
Is the Iron Man in the,
Yeah.
Which I thought that was
cool. It's like, hey mom, how you doing?
I like that.
Yeah, right.
By the way, the panel where Betsy Braddock was holding Shogo, and like she was like, "I'm pretty sure this baby took a poop, and this ball of chain weighs 190 pounds. Being a mom is easy." I thought that was funny. Just seeing, like, well, shit just got real. Deadpool being, you know, having Shogo being, or Jubilee, like, you put him in a hamster wheel? That was your answer? That was great.
So good.
You know, so it was just fun. I'm interesting to see, you know, now the uncanny X-Men have to launch an assault to rescue, or just to see how they can unfuck up this situation.
Right.
But yeah, you know, not to say, like, we knew they were, like, you know, don't trust anybody who hides their mind and shit like that, so.
Yeah, right?
Although,
interesting question, if I may pose a question.
Sure.
Okay, you're obviously reading both. I'm reading both. Taser, are you reading Infinity right now, or Battle of the Atom?
Yeah, but I'm not reading every book that comes out, because I'm still not reading the Wolverine and the X-Men stuff.
Okay, that's fine. That. Just of the ones you've read, group question here, which event do you think is unfolding better right now? Battle of the Atom or Infinity?
Tough call. I can say that I think my eyes are rolling less with Infinity because young Jean Grey is still such a fucking drain to read.
Okay.
She, you know, there are characters that need the shit slapped out of them. Hope Summers being one of them, because, you know, and it occurs to me, ever since AVX, Hope Summers useless. She has no purpose in the Marvel universe now.
No significant purpose, but now she's with her dad, and that's all the purpose she needs.
Yeah, no, she's not, because her dad's like running away from her.
No, her and her dad are now partnered together. That's what happened.
Yeah, for the next two issues until he leaves her behind because, Hope, I'm trying to do something. So, but regardless, Hope's specific reason for existing has been eradicated.
You could say it was for that one moment in time.
Yeah, and even then, well, that was like, yeah, five mutants. So much for the hope of the, you know, mutant population.
Well, she did her job. Now it's kind of like, okay, well, shuffle off. Yeah,
because they used the... Her and who was it that was with her?
The
Phoenix Force and Nick Knight, mutant kind. That's what we're getting.
Hey,
it counts.
It's disappointing to see the character.
How is she supplanted Jean Grey? Jean Grey's only there because she hasn't. The only reason they were brought here to begin with, and you remember this, is that
it was because of Hank Pym. I mean, Hank.
Well, not how, but the why. It's so, like, you look at the younger.
Oh,
self,
drama.
Well, I like the drama, but I mean the reason Hank McCoy, gave was that you need to look at your older self, needs to look at younger self. She wasn't meant to be anything, and they kind of just, well, you can stay, fuck it. She wasn't meant to replace Hope at all. She's replaced Hope now because she's part of the Central X-Men book.
No, but I don't mean in regards to replacements or worthwhile. I mean, what their role in the Marvel Universe is. I'm just saying, in regards to characters that just really need to be bitch-smacked, young Jean Grey and Hope Summers, two characters that just really need to be bitch-smacked, you know? I'd go so far as to say dick-smacked, because they're annoying. And it's one thing to have a purpose and to go about doing that, you know, to have a goal. You know, neither of these characters really have it. Jean Grey's, I can kind of understand where I find out I die and die again. I don't want to go back to face that. I want to live my life past all of that. You know, okay, I'll buy that. Hope Summers, I got to link back up with Dad. No, I'm sorry. You know, that girl, considering she doesn't have the weight of being the mutant messiah on her anymore, she should be able to come up with something else. You know, there should be, you know, she's stuck in a time period where, hey, shit isn't catastrophic. You know, maybe I can do something else. It's aside from find Dad again. Because, I mean, let's face it. She's capable. It seems like she's capable of surviving on her own. She should be able to go out there and
do something, even if it's, yeah, go to school. Yeah, okay, yeah, I wouldn't want to read about her high school life.
She doesn't
either.
Want to go to school either. She just
And I'm fine with that. But it doesn't have to. She doesn't have to spend her time finding dad.
Well, she found him, and now they're together again.
Yeah, until 2 issues from now when he drops her off again. Because it's going to happen. And I don't want that. You know, I would have much rather she said, oh, okay, yeah, dad's over there. He's doing his thing, blah, blah, blah. And if he calls, I'll come. You know, but until that, hey, I'm going to handle things over here.
If it doesn't happen in the next 2 issues, then I'm going to call you out on it. I'm like, well, she's still here. Well,
hey, you know what? If it happens, and if it happens in the third issue, I'm gonna call you out on it. How's that?
No, you said two. No, that's not how that works, buddy. If it doesn't happen in the next 2 issues. I'm like, well, she's still here.
Yeah. All right. Well, all right. Fair enough. Because if anything, I'm not a man of my word. So as I said, now I just. Hope Summers does nothing, you know, Jean Grey does nothing, and Jean Grey is just so fucking annoying. Jean Grey is what kind of makes reading All New X-Men painful.
She's one of my
because just
of
almost world. All of her drama, and then swept up in that is, you know, the bullshit with fucking Scott trying to go, you know, Jean, I'm here for you. Jean, I'm here for you. And, you know, Hank going, hey, I got a shot. Ugh, fucking hell, you know. So, yeah. In general, I'm in. Infinity is making my eyes roll less. That's the best way I can put it.
Okay. So, any other books we want to talk about?
Yeah, I got nothing.
Yeah, I think that about covers it.
Man.
These are the good
right.
stuff.
So I guess I'll say that it's a tie for me with Infinity, because they're both doing things that are not the other are not doing. Bodily Atom is giving me that dramatic X-Men feel that only the X-Men can provide, whereas Infinity is providing me that epic Marvel Marvel event that I come to know and love over the past 7 years. That when it's good, it's great. Seeing unfair characters, great moments. It's just they're both doing something extremely well. Although I'm probably liking Battle of the Atom a little bit more, simply because I like the characters more. And that's just a preference. That's nothing bad against Infinity. It's just I grew up liking the X-Men. Also, I want to see more. I'm more interested to see the how they get out of all this mess with the, you know, dickish Xavier. Although Xavier was always kind of a dick. You know, Mystique, Wolverine shit. Of course, we know they banged. How many times? They probably banged like hundreds of times over the century.
Shit. You know, and you know what? I gotta say this now. You know what's really another reason why I'm not enjoying Battle of the Atom? Because all of this had to do with X-Men from the future supposedly coming back because the X-Men from the past haven't been sent back, and you know, time hiccups and double dirty dealings and blah, 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 blah. But at the end of it, I thought, I was hoping that, yeah, the young X-Men would go back to where they belong because that makes sense. And, well, part of the news out of, you know, Nick is spoilers.
They're not coming. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, of course. You know?
Because then the book ends and then what's the point?
Exactly. That's my problem. This fight does nothing except sell some books.
Well,
there's no
comics in general.
Not everything is, you know, just a wheel spinning and spinning and spinning. Sometimes it's
that's
progression.
What Infinity is, though. Infinity is leading.
I'm not going to argue that. I'm not going to argue
that's
however.
That's the nature of what Marvel's been doing ever since they started this whole event craze again in 2006.
You mean ever since Civil War?
Yes.
Okay.
One thing leads into the next. I mean, even with X-Men, when they did it with Messiah Complex, that led into other stuff, which led into other stuff, which led into other stuff. Which
yeah, they write their comics like they make their movies.
Well, it's serialization. It's serialization.
Yeah,
you got to
none of them involve having people from the past staying and residing in the present day where, hey, look, Cyclops has got a migraine. Oh, no, it's turned into a gunshot wound to the head. Reality starts shifting. You know, I mean, nothing is that serious. That's serious. So
this comics is nothing serious.
Yeah, well, you know, when they cancel your book and then reboot your whole fucking... Anyway, sending them back would...
Kyle Rayner called. He wants your tears in a jar.
Hey, look, my girlfriend's in the refrigerator. Stop making fun.
Look, all I'm saying is that, like, I knew they were going to stay around. It's comics. They're going to stick around for a while because...
I was hoping they would go back because, to be perfectly honest, I'm not enjoying past X-Men in the modern day. The book... minus them is interesting. I'm not the idea of them has passed.
That's
on.
Why there's a bajillion okay. X books that you can enjoy whatever one you want.
Yeah, which is why I'm not reading Wolverine and the X Men. I would enjoy that less than all new X Men. Them coming here, doing something, sticking around for a bit, and then going back, I'd be fine with that.
I'm sure
if
it has
5 years later they're still here, it is a fucking problem.
They've only barely been here for a year. And then of course it's a lot faster because we've gotten more issues out than say a normal 12 issue span, in which case it would have felt like it's even more longer. So it's only been a year. Let's see how long it lasts. I don't think they're going to be here forever because nothing, as we learned, nothing in comics lasts forever. They will shake.
Nothing stays the same.
Nothing
stays the same when it does.
So when this eventually becomes status quo, and because of the nature of how fast they're shipping, it will become status quo fast, they'll eventually go, hey, okay, let's do something to send them back.
I got something status quo. Uncle Ben is dead. There you go.
Well, they'll bring him back eventually. You know they fucking will. They totally fucking will. They probably tried it like several times over the past 50 years.
They brought Krypton back before they brought Uncle Ben back. You kidding me?
Exactly. They brought Barry Allen back. They brought Jean Grey back twice.
I guarantee
three
you.
Times.
I guarantee you they will. Somebody has a story.
When do you think they'll finally do like the Jean Grey memorial issue where Bobby Drake just steps up and he's like,
if I
have
the senior editor at Marvel, Tom Brevoort.
Ben, shut the hell up. I'm being funny.
No.
Bobby Drake will be serious before Uncle Ben comes back.
I guarantee you that there's some story at the Marvel offices or somebody has pitched to them a story where Uncle Ben comes back and at one point, I'm pretty sure, because they brought, remember, look what they did to my girl Gwen Stacy. They
cloned her.
Look what Michael
cloned her.
It's back. She's back. Physical manifestation is back.
Clone. No. Gwen Stacy did not come back from the dead. It's just another Gwen Stacy. Not the same.
Still counts. I'm counting. Anyways, so yeah, all I'm saying is I'm pretty sure they've considered it. That's all.
Until they actually do it, though. But pen
until
to
it's
paper,
in print, doesn't count.
Yes. Doesn't count.
So I say we're done?
Frank Miller will be a good writer again before
he's
Uncle
a good
Ben
writer.
Back.
I don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
Good writer again. He got sucky in his later years.
Have you read 300? 300 is amazing. And not the movie.
300 was a good story. It wasn't amazing, though.
Yeah, it was.
Visually, the movie was awesome. But the story
it
itself
the
is
the
not
from
amazing.
The book. And
no, but what I'm saying is, visually,
yeah,
it makes
for
a good movie. For the book, it was okay.
Look, 300 was... I can't get behind... I mean, yes, visually, it was compelling. But it was a mess of just inaccuracies and fantasies.
It wasn't supposed to be accurate, you bonehead.
Okay, exactly.
I'm gonna be. Before we go, I'm gonna say this one thing. I believe in you, Frank Miller. We'll see y'all next week.
Yeah, go read Holy Terror if you think he's still a good writer. You asshole.
I love that book.